Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Fourth and final hour here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Don't forget to go to our Twitter page, at 1025 The Game, to vote on our Nashville sports bracket. We're trying to figure out the best Nashville athlete in the last 30 years. We will wrap things up tomorrow. Right now, we're down to our final four. Steve McNair, the one seed, versus Shea Weber, the two seed in the Tim Corbin region. They are going against each other today. Eddie George over on the right side of the bracket in the Phil Bredesen region against Pecorine in the David Poyle region. Steve McNair's in the Jeff Fisher region. Those were our four regions in our bracket. And one of those names you just heard, Tim Corbin, is now with us, Vanderbilt baseball coach. Tim, good afternoon. How you doing?
Doing fine, D.
Hate to say it, but David Price was in your region as the one seed representing. We had a great conversation with him last week, and he lost by the slimmest of margins to one Frank Wycheck. So he was our only one seed to be upset to this point.
Well, yeah, he certainly was a good one and is a good one for sure, but Frank was too. And Frank was in such a celebratory moment for Titan football, among many moments, but I can understand.
Tim, when you first took this job, what were your initial thoughts when you took this job and you and Maggie were going to move your family to Nashville?
You know, I don't know if we really had any outside of the fact that during that time, and one of the reasons we chose to be here was academics and baseball were mixing very well. You had programs when I first started like Rice and Notre Dame and Stanford that were flourishing with academics and baseball, and we thought being the one private school in the SEC, we thought that was possible here. And the day that I did come, we spent the day with Todd Turner, and Maggie sat in the stands for most of it, and that night before we went to dinner, I just recall she goes, "This feels right. This feels like a good place." And we had no knowledge of Nashville, none whatsoever. And to feel like where we were then and where we are now and how we feel about Nashville, I mean, it you get to a certain point, I guess, sometimes when you're a coach, that you think, okay, well, this is where we are. This is our home, and it is. It felt like a home, but it's felt like a home for a long period of time, and that's because of the people.
Yeah, and that's why I asked, because today it's much, much easier. You know, Nashville's become the hot thing, and, you know, yeah, over the last 4 or 5 years for sure has been this massive spike. But I'm asking you, going back to that day, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So Maggie said it felt right, other than, as you said, the academics, and it was the SEC and baseball. The program, you know, wasn't, you know what you were taking over. It doesn't look like anywhere near what it looks like today. Why did it feel right to you guys at the time?
I think it was the environment. I think the environment is people in place. When the place feels right in terms of the school itself, the city, the neighborhoods, and then the people. You start integrating yourself with the people, and then, you know, someone said it a long time ago, and I've said it after it. It feels like a city in jeans. It just feels like a very comfortable place, and it is. It's always felt that way, and you get away from it, and even when I go back to the Northeast, I mean, Northeast is home for me because that's where I was raised. But when I'm there for a short time, I go, okay, and now I got to get home. And then the next thing you know, my mom and dad follow us here. And my dad's 90 and my mom's 85. And I talked to my dad today. He goes, I can't wait to go home. And I go, Dad, you are home. You're in New Hampshire right now. He goes, no, Nashville. Mm. So it's like, you know, those feelings have just been perpetuated just because of involving our family members. And then you think of all the players too, D. I don't mean to expound on this, but all the players that stay here. Yeah. And just live in Nashville. I mean, there's been many people that feel the same way we do.
I want to know how you'll answer this because we've had so many conversations over the years, but I don't remember you ever touching on this because you've always been open and very candid about things. And these guys we've been having on, David was very open and candid about his conversation with you his freshman year. And you've told the story before. I realize that. But Mookie Betts came on last week and told us, you know, he thought, you know, he wanted to go a different direction. That it was kind of like when they all get to 18, it's like that's when they hit, you know, weird things happen for them. And Ari Dickey came on here and told his journey. We love the stories. Everybody's got a journey to how they get to this point. What did you ever have? And that crossroads, right, where you had the fork in the road and you had to go right or left. What was your fork in the road in your career?
I knew what I wanted to do, but the fork in the road was I was done at Ohio State. I was done with my master's degree, and I was a part-time coach there, you know, a volunteer coach, for lack of a better word. And the head coach came up to me at the time, and he said, Tim, he said, I want to replace you with a former player of mine. And I didn't know why I wanted to do it, but he just wanted to replace me. And he just had spot for two guys. And it was right in the middle of the term. We were getting ready to play in the spring. And I said, I don't even know what I said to him, but I was left without options. I didn't do anything. And so I had my Ford Escort at the time. I had finished my master's degree and my advisor was helping me at the time, trying to find other options, but I didn't have one. And so I was basically, I didn't tell my dad and mom that I wasn't going to do it because I knew my dad was going to say, get back to New Hampshire and you can get in the automotive parts business with me. So I just kind of lied to him and said, I'm going to stay at Ohio State, which I wasn't. But I drove around the country, and I say around the country, I did. I drove around the country for like 2 weeks, and I ended up on the doorstep of the athletic director at Wofford College, Danny Morrison. I just on a whim on a Sunday morning, and my Ford Escort was packed, and I said, and the only reason I did is because my advisor told me that Wofford may have something available. So rather than call, I just showed up in his doorstep and knocked on his door, and Danny would tell you the same thing. I was unshaved, and I said, introduced myself, and I said, I just want to work for you. Don't even have to pay me. And he didn't. He made me an intern in fundraising, and I became an assistant coach in baseball. And I lived up in a dorm, up in on top of a gym with 40 other beds that was used as a visiting team room. And Danny Morrison went on to be the president of the Carolina Panthers and so on. Special guy, but that was the turning point. He gave me an opportunity and no money, just an opportunity. I stayed there for a year, and the next thing you know, he was the one that made the phone call to Presbyterian and said, this guy can start your baseball program. He goes, I've been with him half a year, and I know what he's capable of doing. And, you know, from there, it just kept moving.
Wow, what a great story. Tim Corbin on the line with us. There's no manual on how to handle a David Price situation or all the situations you've had to handle as a head coach, the right thing to say, the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Where did you learn that from? Where did you learn this whole family, this culture that you've built at Vanderbilt? Where did that come from?
I just think it's learning and understanding empathy, I think, which is a big part of human interactions and teaching and coaching and certainly any endeavor. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, whether you're watching what's on TV right now and how people are handling situations. And, you know, because really what we're in right now is a very difficult moment, but I've always thought in these moments right here, this is when you need to give the people you're around the face, the best face they need, a strong face, you know, whether it's, you know, leadership position by our president, government, whomever, you know, that's where you need to give people your strength. But while you're giving people your strength too, you also need to be empathetic towards their interests. And I think, you know, in competition sometimes, you know, I've learned this too, in competition, I'm not the most empathetic person, but if you remove competition and that just becomes the teacher in me and the kids, then I think empathy is a big part of what I do. And I'm glad at some point in turn I've learned that. And I think it's so important to start understanding other people's views and thoughts. I mean, there was a young man who called me yesterday, and he's on our team, and he's interested in transferring. And in such a mature way, he was telling me why. And I said, you know, I understand that. I do understand that. And I understand your reasoning. And as much as I want you to stay here, I understand that what you want to do personally. And I think you just have to, at certain points, whether it's your own kids or whether it's your players or whether it's anyone else that you work with on a daily basis, is just be a very open listener to how they feel, and then respond in a way that's going to help that person so that they can benefit your program or they can benefit the situation. And I felt, you know, I've continued to learn that as time has gone on, trying to just be very open-minded about situations rather than closed-minded and only one thought.
We're talking to Tim Corbin, head baseball coach at Vanderbilt, and Coach, I want to ask, first of all, before we get back into, you know, questions for you, tell people what you and Maggie are doing right now on social media. I think it's really cool to recognize some of the people that are out there every day doing some things for us that, you know, sometimes we can't even comprehend. We know in our minds we need to support them, but it really hits home when we see some of the things that you guys are putting out there.
Well, I appreciate that. It was just an idea that it was kind of stimulated by an email that I received from a doctor who is our family doctor over at Vanderbilt Medical Center. And he just was trying to think of ideas to build the morale of the people that are around. And I could clearly understand where he was coming from, because where I am situated right now in isolation in the office, no one here, I can see medical people walking across the street and so on, and just looking at the body language, I understand, I kind of get a feel of what they're doing. But I wasn't on social media, and the reason I started getting on social media again was because of Tony Pack, who was a season ticket holder who passed away a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to honor him. But right after that is when I got the email from our doctor, and I just told Maggie what he was thinking, and Maggie woke up, it was that Monday, and she said, I think I've got an idea, and she told me what it was, and I thought, okay, how can we do it? And then I saw an old Topps card that I had, and I thought, maybe we can honor him like in a kind of a baseball card format. So I did it. I created the artwork for it at first, and Maggie said, that's good. And then I sent it across the street to our athletic department, and Sean Sen, who does a lot of our designs, he designed something that was better than what I had, which I'm grateful for. And then we just put it to use. And basically what we've asked is from all the medical centers around here to develop a starting lineup every week where you just introduce someone who's working and explain to just the general public where that person's from. You know, are they a mother or are they a father? What hospital are they working with? What do they do? Doesn't have to be a doctor. It could be someone who has an ancillary position in the medical field. Because as you can see, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, I did the valet crew. And the valet crew was essential because not only what they do, but also they were taking temperatures for the people coming inside the hospital. So there's a lot of valuable people, and it's certainly their season now. It's always their season because they take care of us all the time. But now the spotlight's on them because it's just such a crucial time where they're saving lives, and there's probably so much bedside manner that they're involved with just to trying to keep the morale of other people going. And I thought, wow, this is a great way potentially to build their morale because someone has to look after them. So I've enjoyed doing it, and just do it every night and then send it out the next day on Twitter and Instagram. And it's been personally fun for me and another way to share some experiences with other people.
Yeah, it puts a human touch on it. I like that aspect of it. We're talking to Tim Corbin, head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodore baseball team. And Mitch Light from The Athletic is doing a big article, and I don't want to spoil all that he's doing, but it goes back to the roots that you put down in your early years as the coach. But I do want to ask about one thing, because I thought it was interesting. People always talk about a new coach coming in and wanting to instill their own culture, you know, build the foundation. And he got some great feedback from some of the players he talked to about the first time you addressed your team when you became the coach, a first-time head coach in the SEC. Tell people how you tried to come in and make your first impression.
Well, I think the terminology I used with him was more about blending, just blending my personality into theirs, because I think there's so many times where when you are hired as a coach, you come in and it's almost like, okay, I'm here to change the culture. And the thing that you have to look at, maybe some more empathy, is hey, listen, the kids didn't choose you. And you're there, and some of these kids are in their sophomore and junior and senior year. They chose another coach, but now they're getting you. And when you feel like you come into a program and, okay, I'm changing the culture, those are someone else's kids. Well, they're not someone else's kids. You signed up for them. And I think my step-parenting background helped me in that way, because it was really the reason it took me a while to, you know, I wanted to marry Maggie within, I think it was a year or 2 years. And the reason we didn't, it was just because of the girls. It was just like feeling out that situation and not trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It was just trying to balance everything, because I understood that in order for them to have a relationship with me, they needed to trust me first. And I really think that when you're a coach or a teacher and you go into a classroom or you go into any locker room, the first thing that you need to do is you need to blend yourself into the personalities of the group. You can have standards and values, but at the same time, just be understanding of what that group's going through so that you can develop trust. And if people don't want to be a part of that, that's okay. But at the same time, rather than force feed yourself upon people, you know, just blend yourself in. And in time, it'll work or it might not work. But change is difficult. And change is extremely difficult for what you mentioned as you started this conversation with 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds, because they're very, very emotional. And when you're a leader, you're the older parent. And as an older parent, you should take a back seat even though you're in the front seat. And taking a back seat just means being empathetic of the feelings and the emotions of the people that you're about to teach.
David Price had such a great account with us last week, talking about the meeting he had with you after the first fall, which is it's a well-told story. But, you know, here we are, you know, almost mm-hmm. this is a great time almost to appreciate history. We go back through some of these things because there's great insight involved. But he said, you know, he talked about chart of pitchers. He was 15th on a list of 15, and he was ready to just maybe throw his hands up and do something else. But did you have a sense when he came in to talk to you that day that that's the direction he was going to go with you, that he maybe wanted to take his life in a completely different direction?
I did, and I certainly didn't want him to do that. But the two things: his dad called the night before, so I knew something was up. And then when he came in, his eyes were, you know, you could tell he was very emotional. He was crying before he came in. He was crying when he was telling me the story. So he was very emotional about what was going on. So I knew right then, because he was emotional, that's where his words were based from. So I knew that if I could settle the emotions down, we could get really to the impetus of how he felt. And we did. But at the same time, I challenged him at the beginning, because when he told me what he wanted to do, I told him, I said, I think that's a great decision. I think you should leave here. And I said, I think you should work. And I said, I think junior college would be good. I said, I think that would be a great place to go, because you can't handle it here. And when he heard me say that, his emotions went away. It was almost like you brought out now the competitive side of him. And the reason I did that, and I do it with certain kids, but I only do it with certain kids that I know can handle it, is because I want to see their competitive side. And if a competitive kid comes back and says, internally goes, I'm not doing that. Well, of course you're not. You know, that was your emotional side speaking. Now your competitive side, your real side, the side that really describes your fibers of what you are, that's what you're speaking to. So now that we're on the same level now, now we can talk about what we're really going to do. And what we're really going to do is not go to junior college or not work fast food. You're going to stay here and you're going to get through this. And that's what it came back to. But that took about an hour. It took about an hour and a half. And when he was done with that conversation, he made the decision. I didn't make the decision. I helped him, but he made the decision based on, you know, how I approached him. I approached it with empathy, but at the same time, I told him that, yeah, you should do that. Yeah, this is too much for you. But then you got right into his competitive side, and the competitive side was, you know, I was looking for sympathy, but you are not giving me any sympathy. I'm staying here, and I'm going to show you that I'm the best pitcher. He went from 15 to 2 in a matter of a month in terms of our pitching staff. So that was I'm just glad that kid never left. Because if he took the other side, we're certainly not talking about this story.
I'd say it worked out.
Yeah, me too.
Tim Corbin is with us, the Vanderbilt baseball coach. And as I listen to you tell that story about whether it's David Price or another player, and then I relate it to everything going on in our world right now, I think yep. sometimes we all, everything has to be black and white, that we have to have right. either this is the right answer or this is the wrong answer. But what I've done myself is I've stepped back lately and said, you know what, maybe we don't know what the right answer is, and we're not going to find it for a while. We just have to take this day by day. Do you feel like that you see that sometimes in coaching and then with everything going on today?
I think bingo. I think you're exactly 100% right. We just got to take this day by day. I think that's the best way we can approach it. And you can see even the smartest of smart people throughout the country, they want answers to a question, and there are no answers to a question right now. The questions are all out there, but there's so much mystery to what's happening that we just have to methodically go day by day by day. And we're not built for that because we haven't lived that life at all. And it is difficult to do. It's difficult for anyone. But at the same time, I hear about sports like you do, and you hear about government. And when I think about it, I just say, yeah, that's all important. There's no doubting any of that. But in my way of thinking, the most important thing is to get young people back in school. That's the most important thing, to get the educational systems moving again, because really what you're talking about is kindergarten or pre-K or kindergarten, and then grade school, and then junior high and high school, and then college, because that's really the foundation of our country. And if those people are getting back into rhythm again, then what you have is you have parents and adults, and they have the ability to get back and work again. But really, it's those young children, that it's the grouping of young kids that's the most important thing right now. But that, hey, listen, that's not even going to be decided for a time. And I think, like we all are, we're just in a tough position. And, you know, I want to give my kids answers, but I can't give them answers to anything, nor do I want to act like I know the answer, because no one knows what the answers are. But I think some of these things where people are putting a lot of energy into them as if they know what's going to happen, and baseball in Arizona and certain things like that, does it even really matter? It doesn't matter right now. I think the most important thing that matters is the health of our society. And as our health gets better and as we moderately move closer towards better health, then I think a lot of these things will be right in front of us, and then the answers will be a little bit easier to ascertain.
I don't know if you even have an answer for this question yet, but how much do you think your kids from this team that were so looking forward to defending a national title and trying to do it again and all the things that go through a season, being able to have those experiences, and now they're not because of all of this, the season is done. How much do you think they will be able to learn and to take away that not only is going to help them in their athletic careers, but in life in general?
Well, I hope they do. I mean, I hope they learn a lot from this experience, because I think that's the challenge. I think a lot of them can look at this situation and say, how can I reinvent myself? What are the things I can do right now that I've never been given time to do ever before in my life? How can I reinvent myself? And I think, you know, whether it's reinventing themselves, reinventing how they think about certain things, I think this is a great opportunity for a lot of people. And it's not to make light of what's going on, because that's not what's happening. But at the same time, there is a pocket of time here that we've never been given before. It's almost like God said, you know what, everyone go to your room. Just go to your room, and you're grounded. And now you say, I've never been grounded for this length of time. Well, you know, now that you've got it, let's make great use of it. And I think those are the things. Those are the answers I've given the kids. It's more of a challenge, and find ways to reinvent yourself. Do something that you've never done before that will make you better as a person, and that will make you better as a teammate, and as a teammate in your own home first, but then as a teammate as you move away, because there's so much opportunity for so many things. And, you know, beyond webinars and Zoom calls and things like that, you know, let's get beyond that. You know, it's just, I think individually, when we start looking at ourselves internally, what we can become and how we can reinvent ourselves, I think those are the things that these are great opportunities for us right now to kind of learn and watch what people are doing around us too. I think from a leadership standpoint, we can start to look at people and how they're acting in these situations and what matters in life. And I think it's all important.
Yep. Well said, Tim. As always, you guys continue to be safe, and thanks for carving out a little bit of time today for us. We enjoyed it as always, and we'll talk soon.
You guys are nice. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, that is Tim Corbin. Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, by the way. He was a part of this incredible group that's going in. We'll have to wait and see when they're going to actually do that this season. But well-deserving for Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.